The purpose of this show is solely to provide information for you to make your own decisions on the subjects that are presented. Welcome to the Ben Armstrong Show, folks. I have a question proposed to you. Are you a good person? And if yes, according to who? That's actually the most important part of that question, because many people view themselves as a good person. If I were to go out onto the street and I ask people just on the street corner, the vast majority of people, are you a good person? If I ask that, they would say yes. Now, logically, that can't actually be true, but in their mind they are. And the reason why is they can justify the bad things that they've done in their mind, and they are concentrating on the good things, but it's more than that. It's according to who. It's who they're comparing themselves to, and nobody knows who they're comparing themselves to. It's so generic when you ask, are you a good person? But really, that's not what should be asked in that way. It's who thinks you are a good person, and does God think you're a good person? That's really the way you should be looking at it. And even if I ask that, do you think God thinks you're a good person? I think the vast majority of people would probably say yes. Again, it comes from, where are they measuring their goodness from? I mean, if they compare themselves to Adolf Hitler, then of course they're going to say, well, I'm not as bad as Hitler. I'm a good person compared to Adolf Hitler. So if you compare yourself always to people that you think have done worse things than you, then you would say you're a good person. What'd be interesting is ask the question, are you a good person, to the person that you're comparing yourself to? What would their answer be? And they would probably say, yes, they're a good person too. So then you have to wonder, well, how can everyone be a good person? Obviously, we can't all be a good person. But what if it gets scary? What if it gets a lot scarier than asking, are you a good person? What if nobody's good? Have you ever pondered that? Have you ever thought, okay, if everyone's claiming they are a good person, what if the opposite was true and nobody is a good person? Could that be the case? Could that be real? Could everybody be a bad person? Is that possible? And here is the real truth. The real truth is everybody is a bad person and not a good person. And that is going to flip some people out and say, that is not true. I am a good person. But I want all the people who really believe they are a good person and not a bad person, I want all of you to really address, according to who? What makes you a good person? Because you think you are a good person, but what is the standard that you are measuring yourself to say, I am a good person? I want to measure you to the standard of what God thinks. And if you measure yourself to the standard of what God would say is a good person, I think you'll realize, I might not be what I think I am. So, have you ever stolen something in your life, even as a little kid? I remember stealing a Tootsie Roll from the corner store. It was probably two or three Tootsie Rolls. I was real little. And I only did it because other people who were with me stole some of the little bit of candy. And these were like penny candies at the time, or nickel for stuff that they just had. And I remember being busted for that. And I knew it was wrong. And even though it was the smallest thing, just like three Tootsie Rolls is what I stole, I still was a thief. I still stole. And what made it really bad is I knew that I was doing something wrong and I did it anyways. And therefore, in God's eyes, whether it was money or three Tootsie Rolls, whether I robbed the counter from the cash register or not, doesn't matter as much as I knew I was disobeying God, even though I was real little. I knew I wasn't supposed to be stealing. I was a thief. I became a thief at that moment. Have you ever told a lie? Well, I think all of us have told a lie. And if you say you've never told a lie, you just told a lie. So there you go. So now we know we're all liars. So if you've ever told a lie, God would view you as a liar. So if you've stolen something, even something small, or you have lied in your life, if you're looking at how God would measure you according to his standard, if you're a good person or not, you're a liar and you're a thief. Have you ever had sex outside of marriage? If you have, you're an adulterer on your future spouse. This is according to God. This is not according to me. But the truth is, sex outside of marriage in God's eyes is sin. But it's worse than that. You're cheating on your future spouse, even if you're doing it as, well, I was a teenager and it was a high school boyfriend or girlfriend. It's sin, and you're in sins. Having sex outside of marriage is sin. And it's fornication. It's not technically adultery because the Bible does separate the difference. It's even worse if you're married and then you have an affair. That's adultery. But in a way, the fornication is an affair on your future spouse, if you understand that. If you're looking through a holy God's eyes, see, according to the world's standard, if someone had sex one time before they got married to somebody else, and then they get married, and they only had sex at one, in the world's eyes, they're a pretty good person because they compare themselves to the rest of the world. And the rest of the world is saying, oh, we got sex with multiple people. So that person that had sex one time, if they, according to themselves, were to compare themselves to the person that has had sex multiple times, they can stand up and say, I am a good person compared to that person. But that's not the standard you should be looking at. Because no one can declare you good. That person, your mom or dad, your brothers or sisters, some stranger that just met you, the president of the United States giving you an award, the governor of your state giving you an award and declaring you a good person, does not make you a good person. No one can declare you a good person, and you cannot declare yourself a good person. It's subjective to what you are comparing yourself to. The only person that can declare you a good person would be Jesus Christ. But he doesn't declare you a good person. He says, according to the Bible, that if you follow the Ten Commandments and you keep all of the Ten Commandments, then you would be a good person. But do you love your neighbor as you love yourself? Do you love your God with all your heart? Do you do it? Because that's what the commandment, to love your God, to honor your father and mother, to not commit adultery, to not steal, to not lie. Do you do any of those things? Have you broken all of those things? Well, then how can God declare you a good person when to be a good person, the Ten Commandments shows you what a good person would have to be? A good person would not break any of the Ten Commandments, none of them. That would be a good person. And there's only been one person to do that, and that is Jesus. And Jesus is the only one who, when he was walking on earth, could say he's a good person. And in fact, a young man came up to Jesus and said, good teacher. And Jesus questioned him, why do you call me good? Only God is actually good. And when this young man came up, he was saying, you're pretending like you think I'm the Messiah, like I'm the Son of God. You called me good teacher, not just teacher, good teacher, as if I'm on the level up with God, which was true. Jesus was, but Jesus was asking, why do you call me good? Because he knew in this guy's heart, this guy didn't really think Jesus was the Son of God. He didn't really think he was the Messiah. He didn't really think he was God in flesh. So he didn't really think he was technically good. He was flattering Jesus because that's what he heard other people. Or he could have meant it in terms of he respected Jesus, but did he really understand the words that were coming out of his mouth when he called him good teacher? Jesus was pointing that out to him. So only Jesus, when asked that question, are you a good person? Jesus is the only one that could have ever said yes to that question. And even when he was called good, he didn't even like go, hey, I'm the one that's good. I'm the one that Jesus didn't boast. He didn't move into any parts of sin whatsoever. It is us who declare Jesus was the wonderful good person that he is by seeing his actions, and he allows us to boast for him. And what I mean by us is people who believe in Jesus, Christians, we boast on the behalf of Jesus of how wonderful he was. And that is showing that even if you are a good person, you should never boast, but let others say good things about you. Let your reputation precede you. Well, this is could start to get scary for some of you because you're saying, Ben, you keep saying nobody's a good person. No, nobody is. Absolutely not. If you compare yourself to God's standard, if you compare yourself to God's standard, you're an adulterer, most likely. Not everyone, but a lot of people are. You're a liar. I would say everyone is a liar. You are someone who has at some point in time not honored your father and mother. You have not loved your God with all your heart. You have not loved your neighbor as yourself. You have not lived the life that God said it takes to be a good person. You haven't done it because nobody has. So how can you be a good person? The only way you can be a good person is if you admit you're not a good person. It almost seems opposite. Well, it is basically opposite, but it confuses people. And this is why so many people don't come to it. The world wants you to think that being you're a good person. They want you to think that. The world wants you to tell yourself that you're a good person. Because if you do, and you don't admit that you're not a good person, you don't need to be redeemed. You don't need a savior. You don't need to question, well, what's God going to do at the end of my life? Now, some of you have questioned that, and you think, well, I'm a good person in God's eyes because he's going to judge people at the end of according to how many good things they've done and how many bad things they've done. And you have this belief system that it's good versus bad. And therefore, that's why you're saying you're a good person because your good outweighs your bad. But is that really true? Again, according to who does your good outweigh your bad? According to you, your good outweighs your bad. Does your good outweigh your bad according to God? Well, Jesus said the standard is if you have a sinful thought, it can be counted as sin. If you lust after a woman, that lustful thought can be counted as sinful and counted as breaking the one of the Ten Commandments. And having an adulterous thought in your mind, God takes it that far. So according to God, if your thoughts cause you to sin, just your thoughts alone, even not even acting on it, then to that standard, your good would never even come close to outweighing your bad. And if Jesus says that's the standard, basically, he's telling you, God is holy. So he doesn't even want unholy thoughts. Then your bad is always going to outweigh your good. Every single person that stands before God, their bad is going to outweigh their good. So you need an intervention. Because what I'm saying is, anyone who stands before God and says, my good will outweigh my bad, their bad will always outweigh their good, and they are not going to heaven. You're not making it. You're not getting there. You are trying to get to heaven because you are declaring yourself good. You are saying, I can make it. I can do it. And what you don't realize is good versus bad, the weights, the scales, has never been the way to get to heaven, ever. Every false religion tells you, every single one basically tells you, it's you'll stand before God, good versus bad, and that's how you get in heaven. They're twisting it. You will stand before God, and you will have an account on whether good versus bad of what you have done. But that account isn't for you to enter heaven or not. This is where people get confused. When you stand before God and you have what the good things you've done and the bad things you've done, it is not to see whether you enter heaven or not. It is to see how bad you are will be punished or how many rewards you will receive. And only that, because when you're standing before God, it's already been decided whether you enter heaven or not. And when you understand that, your decisions on earth of whether you believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior or not decides whether you enter heaven or not. So when you stand before God, you've already made that decision on earth. Either you never did follow Jesus and decide that he has to be your Savior, so you're already going to hell. As soon as you die, you're going to hell no matter what. And when you stand before him, he is going to weigh your good versus bad to see how bad your punishment will be, not to see whether you get in or not. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ and you have accepted him as your Savior, then you die, you stand before God, your good versus bad, but your good is really being looked at for how many rewards your bad is washed away. It doesn't matter what your bad is, it's how much good did you do? And some will have only done a tiny bit, and others will do a ton, and that's what the rewards they will get when they're in heaven, but it's not deciding whether they get into heaven or not. It's just deciding what the rewards of what they will be, their status in heaven, your status of punishment in hell. So a person without Jesus, it doesn't matter how much good they've done. The only thing someone without Jesus is really getting measured in is being looked at is all the bad that they've done. And that's what's going to matter. And if you have Jesus, all the bad you've done, that's not really what's going to be looked at. It's all of what is good that has been done. And some people that have Jesus will be embarrassed about how little good they actually have done and wasted their time, but they still get to go to heaven. And some of you are confused, saying, this doesn't make sense. Let me ask you this. If you're confused, this will bring it all around by this question. How many sins does it take before God condemns you? Now, this is the essential question that every religion should have to answer. No matter what your religion is, this is the answer or a question that should be answered. And if a religion cannot answer this question, then this would prove that that religion is false and has no real answers. If they can't tell you how many sins, how many bad things does it take before God throws you into hell? I mean, if there's a good and loving God and he's going to weigh your good versus bad, well, wouldn't it make sense then he would say, okay, when you reach this point, that's it for you. You're not getting in after you've done this much. But no religion ever tells you what that is. Christianity the Bible tells you, let me say, but false Christianity, where they say your good versus bad will be weighed. Well, they never tell you how much good you have to do compared to how much bad. And they'll tell you, well, I don't know. That's what God, only God knows that. Well, what kind of cruel God tells you, I want you to come into heaven, but I'm going to be so cruel, I'm not going to tell you exactly when you've gone too far. I won't tell you when you've gone too far. You're just going to have to guess and hope and cross your fingers when you stand before me that you didn't go too far. Well, that's pretty cruel. Well, guess what? Every religion, that's their belief system. If you're good versus bad, you're going to have to guess, you're going to have to stand. Well, I can give you the biblical understanding. You don't have to guess. It does tell you. The Bible tells you, here's where you've gone too far. You've gone too far, and once you've done this, you're on the path to hell. And you know what it is? How many sins does it take? How egregious? one sin. That's it. One sin. One sin makes you impure. It makes you unholy. It makes you, you would corrupt heaven if you were to enter it because you are a corrupt being. One sin sends you to hell. That's it. One. That's all it takes. Now, that might sound cruel, but at least you have the answer. At least God is giving you the, here's the line, one sin, you're done. Well, that's not fair. Well, what if I were to tell you that God says, ah, but I can, where sin has condemned you, for the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life, and my gift, my mercy, can be greater than that. One true faith in my son who will pay the punishment for that sin? If one sin can send you to hell, that one belief, that one faith in that way to get to heaven, to accept him as your savior, he paid the price for that sin that you've done or all the sins that you've done. You do that and I will let you into my heaven because I will then let you be seen as perfect. His blood covers you, washes your sins away, and now when you stand before God, you are perfect. So therefore, when you stand, you're not standing whether you get into heaven or not. You've been cleansed by Jesus. He's already paid the price. Now you're just deciding what awards you are getting. But when you stand before God without Jesus, you did not cleanse yourself of sins. One sin is already going to condemn you to hell. One. Now you're standing before him. You didn't believe in him. And you have 1,000 sins condemning you. It only takes one, but your experience in punishment will be worse than somebody that has 50 sins and you have 10,000 sins. And you're standing in judgment to see how bad it is going to be for you, not whether you're going to get into heaven or not. Jesus is the only way. I close my show with this, and I never get to go in depth, but I wanted to do a show where you can get a little bit in depth and understanding. Let me give you one more example if some of you still don't have a full understanding or you're teetering on, I don't know. I don't know if I can believe this, that this is how it is. If I were to take a car that has a whole bunch of scratches on it and it's all dented and banged up, some car from the 1960s, let's say, and it's not perfect, but I want to sell it in mint condition. Well, I can't. It's banged up in scratches. And the dents and scratches represent sin. It's all banged up and scratched. It's went through a horrible life, and it's been beat down. Can that car fix itself? No. Can that car take the scratches and dents out? No. Is there anything that car can do to put itself into mint condition? No. But what if somebody comes along that has the ability to do that? And then they restore it, and they take the scratches and the dents out. The car can't do it, but an outside force can. And that outside force then can present that car when it's done and actually sell it legally, saying it's in mint condition. Now, the reality is that car had a whole bunch of dents and scratches and doesn't matter. It's been restored, and now it can be presented as mint condition. You're that car. You have dents, you're scratched, you're all banged up, and Jesus is coming to restore you. And he's saying, I can put you into mint condition, but you have to let me do it for you. All you have to do is choose it. I hope you do today. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. I love you guys. See ya. Hey guys, Conversations That Matter is a show hosted by Alex Newman at thenewamerican.com. This is where he has conversations with a whole bunch of people in interview form, and these conversations are dealing with people that the mainstream media really doesn't want you to hear from, but Alex Newman will interview them and you'll get to hear from them. And these are things that could actually save your life or save our liberty as well. So check out Conversations That Matter at thenewamerican.com.